Shrila, this morning we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Canto 10, chapter 1, text number 29, right? Which doesn't have a purport. So maybe I'll just chant and then we'll chant together. Actually, no, the one that we chant together is 2. So we'll just chant this together, 29. Tasyam tu karishichare. Vasudeva Kuturvaha Devakya Surya Sardham Prayani Ratam Arhuhat Tasyam. In that place known as Mathura, to indeed Karichit. Some time ago, Sauri, the demigod descendant of Surya, Vasudeva, who appeared as Vasudev, Krita Udvaha, after being married, Devakya, Devaki, Suryaya, his newly married wife. Saradham, along with Prayani, for returning home. Mutam, the chariot. Arhat, mounted. Translation. There's no purport, so we'll read this verse, and then we'll read the next verse, and there's not much to say about the next verse either, so we'll probably go on to 34 as well. Some time ago, Vasudev, who belonged to the demigod family or to the Sura dynasty, married Devaki. After the marriage, he mounted his chariot to return home with his newly married wife. Text 30. Kamsa, the son of King Ugrasen, in order to please his sister Devaki on the occasion of her marriage, took charge of the reins of the horses and became the chariot driver. He was surrounded by hundreds of golden chariots. Text 31-32. Devaki's father, King Devaka, was very much affectionate to his daughter. Therefore, while she and her husband were leaving home, he gave her a dowry of 400 elephants, nicely decorated with golden garlands. He also gave 10,000 horses, 1,800 chariots, and 200 very beautiful young maidservants, fully decorated with ornaments. Purport. This system of giving a dowry to one's daughter has existed in the Vedic civilization for a very long time. Even today, following the same system, a father who has money will give his daughter an opulent dowry. A daughter would never inherit the property of her father, and therefore an affectionate father during the marriage of his daughter would give her as much as possible. A dowry, therefore, is never illegal according to the Vedic system. Here, of course, the gift offered as a dowry by Devaka to Devaki was not ordinary. Because Devaka was a king, he gave a dowry quite suitable to his royal position. Even an ordinary man, especially a high-class Brahmana, Kshatriya, or Vaishya, is supposed to give his daughter a liberal dowry. Immediately after the marriage, the daughter goes to her husband's house, and it is also a custom for the brother of the bride to accompany his sister and brother-in-law to exhibit affection for her. This system was followed by Kamsa. These are old customs in the society of Varnashram Dharma, which is now wrongly designated as Hindu. These long-standing customs are nicely described here. There's not much I can say about this, but I'll say a little bit. Now, this is so glorious here that Devaka has given such a nice dowry to his daughter, and and son-in-law, and it's been going on for thousands and thousands of years, and it was glorious. But now, because of the age of Kali, everything has become so polluted. I looked on the internet yesterday just to see what the situation is now with dowries in India. About 7,000 people die every year in relation to dowries. You know, the husband is demanding from the family a bigger dowry, and sometimes it becomes so crazy that she commits suicide walking into fire. And all kinds of crazy things go on. 7,000 a year. And sometimes they'll have they'll see if it's a boy or a girl that's taking birth, and if it's a girl, they abort it. Because if they have a girl, that means they gotta give a dowry. Yeah, so it's like, it's full on Kali Yuga. Yeah, so. Fortunately, there's not many places in the world where this is the culture. So I think we'll, not much I can say about that. We'll go on to the next verse. This is text number 35. Kamsa was a condemned personality in the Bodhi dynasty because he was envious. Oh no. No, no. 33 and then 34, sorry. O beloved son, Maharaj Pariksit, when the bride and bridegroom were ready to start, conch shells, bugles, drums, and kettle drums all vibrated in concert for their auspicious departure. While Kamsa, controlling the reins of the horses, was driving the chariot along the way, an unembodied voice addressed him, quote, "You foolish rascal, the eighth child of this woman you are carrying will kill you," unquote. Purport. The omen spoke of Ashtamo Garbha, referring to the eighth pregnancy, but did not clearly say whether the child was to be a son or a daughter. Even if Kamsa were to see that the eighth child of Devaki was a daughter, he would have no doubt that the eighth child was to kill him. According to the Vishwa Kosha dictionary, the word Garbha means embryo, and also Arbhaka, or child. Kamsa was affectionate toward his sister, and therefore he had become the chariot driver to carry her and his brother-in-law to their home. The demigods, however, did not want Kamsa to be affectionate towards Devaki, and therefore, from an unseen position, they encouraged Kamsa to offend her. Moreover, the six sons of Marichi had been cursed to take birth from the womb of Devaki, and upon being killed by Kamsa, they would be delivered. When Devaki understood that Kamsa would be killed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who would appear from her womb, she felt great joy. The word Vahase is also significant because it indicates that the ominous vibration condemned Kamsa for acting just like a beast, a burden, by carrying his enemy's mother. So we know from action who is a demon and who is a devotee. Now Devaki, in her previous life, she was a great, actually in this life also she's a great devotee. But she performed great austerities. Prishni and Sutapa. She was Prishni. And it's described that they did austerities for 12,000 years of the demigods. And they would, their eatables were leaves that fell from the trees onto the ground. That was their prasad. How would you like to do that austerity? Very austere. And they would tolerate the rain and the sun glaring down on them, and you know, very, very austere. So why were they doing these austerities? These austerities are being done to have Krishna as their son. And now it's coming to be true. She's going to have, and therefore she was joyful. She felt great joy. She's going to have Krishna as her son. So from this we could understand how important austerity is. Krishna says, yagya dana tapak karma natyajyam koinevita. That this activity of yagya, austerity, dana, charity, and tapa, austerity, these activities are never to be given up. Because these activities, they purify even the great souls. So even if you consider yourself a great soul, continue. So important, austerity. And in the also in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, he says, Sarve pyete yagya vidho, yagya sthapita kamasa, yagya shisthamrata bhujo, yanti brahma sanatana. That Sarve pyete yagya vidho, one who knows the purpose of sacrifice and who is free of sin, he experiences the nectar of the result of sacrifice. And thus he advances toward the supreme eternal abode. So by performing sacrifice, we experience the nectar of the result of sacrifice. So what is the nectar of the result of sacrifice? This one gets realization of Krishna. Krishna reveals himself to a person who engages in austerity for the pleasure of Krishna. Yeah. So therefore this sacrifice is so important. And throughout the world, people are doing sacrifices all over. You know, people are working. Sometimes I met one person in the on Sankirtan. He said he's working three jobs just to maintain, you know, such sacrifice, just to get, you know, a roof over his head and some food in the belly, such sacrifice. And people that do these, you know, they have these Olympics. The Olympics, you know, they have these sports. They do the Olympics and they sometimes they'll swim, you know, 7-8 hours a day to get in good health, to win the Olympics, to get the medal, you know, to get the gold medal. You know, such sacrifice. What for? Just for sense gratification. Yeah. So if we do sacrifice, we do austerity for the pleasure of Krishna, it's very auspicious. And Krishna, he also says, Sahayagya Bajasvastha Puravacha Bajapati. That the Lord sent forth generations of men and demigods along with sacrifices to Lord Vishnu and bless him, saying, be thou happy by these sacrifices because it will bestow upon you everything desirable for living happily and attaining liberation. So by doing sacrifice, we become happy. Like Prabhupada, he told the Gurukul teachers, teach the boys the joy of austerity. Just like sometimes people, they ask us, so you're a monk, so what's your lifestyle? And we tell them, well, we get up a little early, you know, 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning. And immediately they're like, what? That's usually when I go to sleep. Yeah. And we're vegetarian. And we do about 2 hours of meditation every day, and people are a little shocked. And some of us also, when we first join, I don't know if I can do this. But as we continue, then it becomes nice. I mean, I can't imagine waking up after 4 o'clock in the morning. That's late, you know. So, yeah, it becomes very nice to do austerity. And Krishna says that which is in the mode of goodness, it's poison in the beginning, and it's nectar in the end. And the mode of passion, what is it? It's nectar in the beginning, poison in the end. So this process of Krishna consciousness, it's a nectarian process. And by doing this, we become purified. It's like the goal is to be absorbed in Krishna, right? The name, the form, qualities, pastimes of Krishna. So by doing these austerities, we get purified, and we become attracted to the name, form, qualities, pastimes of Krishna. The pastimes of Krishna are so attractive, and this is something that other religions don't have. Like in Christianity, what are the pastimes of God in the Bible? Anybody know? God speaks from a bush, a burning bush. And that's it, right? In the Quran? Anybody know the Quran here? Is there anything in the Quran? Any pastime of God? I don't think so. Yeah, you're not even supposed to, actually, in Judaism, you're not supposed to even say the name of God. It's a no-no. You break the principles if you say the name of God in Judaism. But here, now you're going into the 10th canto, you're going to hear the wonderful pastimes of Krishna. And Raghunath Das Goswami, he also tells a very nice story. Have you heard the pearl pastime of Krishna? There's an amazing pearl pastime of Krishna. This is during Kartik. And Krishna's there in Vrindavan with all his friends and all the gopis and all the wonderful devotees. And Krishna, he notices that the gopis, they're making some pearl necklaces. So Krishna asks the gopis, can you give us some pearls? We want to make some pearl necklaces for our cows. And they said, we're not going to give you any pearls to make pearl necklaces for your cows. And Krishna said, oh, come, please, give us some. You have so many pearls. Give us some pearls. No, we're not going to give you any pearls. And they're begging for some pearls. And finally, Radharani says to the gopis, give them some of our rejected pearls. Give them some rejects. And they gave him some rejected pearls. And then Krishna said, oh yeah? We're going to grow our own pearls. And the gopis said, you don't grow pearls. Pearls come from oysters from the sea. I'm gonna grow my own pearls. You watch. So they said, yeah, okay, you grow your own pearls. So they left. And they went to Mother Yasoda. Mother Yasoda, can you give me some pearls? I'm gonna grow some pearls, so we can make some nice pearl garlands for the cows. And Mother Yasoda said, You silly boy. You don't grow pearls. Pearls come from oysters. No, no, Mata, I can grow some pearls. You know, I'm Krishna. Please, give me some pearls. She said, okay, here's some pearls. You go and grow some pearls. So he's a family of agriculturists, so he lined the pearls up there very systematically. And he watered the pearls with milk. Figures he'll get better pearls if you water them with milk. So he's milking the pearls. And after 3 days or so, there's some spouts come up. And he told the goat, but you see? Come, look. Sprouts are coming up. I'm going to have pearl plants, and pearls are going to grow from these plants. And the gopi says, there's not going to be pearl plants. There's going to be thorn bushes. There's going to be pearl plants. Who's ever heard of a pearl plant? They're probably going to be thorny bushes. And Krishna said, no, you'll see. Be patient, you'll see. So he's milking the plants. After a couple of weeks, sure enough, some pearls are growing from these plants. And these aren't ordinary pearls. These are different colored pearls. Blue and yellow and green and pink. And they even were fragrant. They smelled wonderful. So they made a whole bunch of pearl necklaces for the cows. Anybody know how many cows Krishna had? Huh? No, who knows? How many?
900,000.
Huh? 900,000. That's a lot of cows. That's a lot of pearl necklaces. 900,000. So they had all these pearl plants and all these pearls and big, big bushes. And then they went to the gopis and with the cows, some of the cows, not all. You see? I told you. You see the pearl necklaces? I grew these on the pearl plants. You see? You thought I couldn't do it. And the gopis, they saw how beautiful these pearl necklaces were. And he said, Krishna, can you give us some of your pearls? Krishna said, no way. We asked you for some pearls, and all you gave us was rejects. And now you want us to give you some of our pearls. No. Oh, please, Krishna, give us some of your pearls. Be nice. You're an ocean of mercy. Karuna Sindhu, come on, give us some of your pearls. No. And they said, well, Krishna, we'll give you gold. We'll give you gold if you give us some of your pearls. And Krishna said, each one of these pearls has more value than the Kaustubha gem on Lord Vishnu. And you want to give us gold. No. So they were bargaining back and forth. And the story goes on and on, bargaining. And finally Krishna, who was Karuna Sindhu, an ocean of mercy, he gave all the gopis pearl necklaces. So everyone lived happily ever after. That's the pearl pastime. Anybody know how Krishna got a peacock feather on his head? Krishna woke up early one morning and he started playing the flute. And when Krishna plays the flute, this attracts all his friends. So all his friends came and Krishna's playing the flute. And Krishna, he's the best. best musician. There's so many musicians, but Krishna, he's the best musician, so he's playing the flute. And his cowherd friends came, and so many residents of Vrindavan came to hear Krishna play the flute. It was a concert, a Krishna concert. So then the peacocks came on hearing Krishna play the flute, and they started dancing. And peacocks are very good dancers. They're very good dancers. So they were dancing so nicely. So they were hearing Krishna flute playing, and they were watching the dance of the peacocks. So then Krishna, he became inspired to also dance. So he went and he started dancing. And you know, Krishna is known as Vrindavana Natabara. He's the best dancer of Vrindavan. You know, there was one atheist who said, "When I hear that God dances, I'll believe in a God." Nietzsche. But he never got to hear about Krishna or Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya, he's also known as the great dancer. So Krishna's dancing. And then, you know, his flute, which is another personality. The flute is not just some wooden bamboo pole, but the flute is a personality. Actually, everything in Vrindavan, Prabhupada says in one purport, that in Vrindavan, everything is alive. Everything moves. Everything speaks. Everything is alive. Nothing, there's no dead matter in Goloka Vrindavan. So the flute started, it removed itself from Krishna's hand and is hovering, still playing. It's still playing, but it's hovering. And now Krishna's, his hands are free. So now he really starts dancing. So Krishna's dancing and everybody is enamored by Krishna's beautiful dance and the beautiful flute playing of Krishna. There's so many nice pastimes of Krishna, so many nice pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. Now I'm reading the Chaitanya Bhagavat. We were given the Chaitanya Charitamrita by Srila Prabhupada, but there's also Chaitanya Bhagavat, the more pastimes, wonderful pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. When Lord Chaitanya went to Gaya, he went there and he met his spiritual master. And after that, he became so ecstatic. And when he went to Navadvip, he was doing menial service to all the devotees, you know, washing their clothes, just doing menial things. And so many amazing pastimes. They were doing kirtan. And when they were doing hours and hours of kirtan. And then when they were feeling a little fatigued and feeling a little hungry, and Lord Chaitanya said, "So what do you want? What would you like to have?" And one day we said, "Oh, mangoes, Lord Chaitanya, mangoes." It wasn't mango season. So Lord Chaitanya made a mango tree came up, and ripe mangoes with practically no skin, no seed, and it gave mangoes throughout the year. Doesn't matter what season, they got mangoes throughout the year. So Lord Chaitanya, you know, he's Vishwambar. Vishwambar means he who maintains all living entities. So he was giving these wonderful mangoes to devotees. So we're so fortunate. So many books we hear, the wonderful pastimes of Krishna. So we should take advantage and hear. Krishna says, or Srila Prabhupada says in one purport, that if one hears with rapt attention, one can see Krishna on every page of the Bhagavatam, but to hear with rapt attention one has to be pure in mind. But to be pure in mind, one has to be pure in action. To be pure in action, one has to be pure in eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. But if one could hear in this way with rapt attention, then one can see Krishna on every page of the Bhagavatam. So this is the key. We have to hear with rapt attention. We have to chant our japa with rapt attention, hear Prabhupada's books with rapt attention, and then we're going to advance very, very quickly in Krishna consciousness. Now, I heard there's going to be a Harinam today, and I was told to stop at 8:45, and it is now 8:42. So is there, maybe there's... This is not working. Okay. Is there any question that anybody... Maybe we could have one question, and then we'll... Anything? No? Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.